how we met.
That's our story.
It was almost like we were meant to meet that night.
It was like kind of the classic, when you're not looking, it shows up sort of thing.
I caught the feels.
But I look back at that and I'm like, how did my parents not be like, what the heck?
Hello, everybody. Jasmine here. I'm back from Bali, back in your ears, and back with the last four episodes of the season. I truly cannot believe it. I really hope everyone has been well during this last two-week break, whatever it is you have been doing. And a big thank you for tuning in today, and a massive welcome to The Story of Us, the show where I get to sit down with a new guest every single week and hear all about their love story, including the scintillating details of how they met their partner, what they love about them, what they don't like so much, and so much more. Today I'm joined by another amazing guest with a hilarious, unbelievable, and incredible tale to tell. Here's a little sneak peek.
My name is Maria. I'm 35 years old. I live in Melbourne, and this is my story.
Now, before we get into Maria's story, a reminder that if you're listening to this right now and you have a cool love story, I want to know about it. I would love to feature you on the next season of the show. So let me know by submitting it to storyofusthepodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's get into it. Hey, Maria, welcome to The Story of Us. How are you going?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm so excited to talk to you. I honestly think your story, like based on what I read and what you said, is like one of the funniest ones that I think we've had.
Oh, thank you. I hope it lives up.
We will see. Maria, I can already tell you are a very colorful, very fun individual. So tell me something interesting about yourself.
I used to be a book publicist. So that meant looking after quite a few rural romance authors. I got along with them really well. And it meant I became the rural romance publicist, but I also got to be the publicist of quite a few celebrities as well, which was kind of nice. And the last one that I worked with was a really, really well-known chef from South Australia. And it was really nice. Like, we were in the middle of Adelaide markets because she was so well-known. Everyone kind of came up to her and, you know, wow, wanted to say hello. And I remember her grabbing my hand, squeezing it and saying, can we get out of here? So we jumped into her car, sat in the middle of this park in the middle of Adelaide. And she told me just things about herself that I don't think many other people would have known. It was actually a really beautiful, surreal moment. And a couple of days later, it was my last couple of days there. And it was just such a nice way to end that journey. Yeah, it was fun.
That's a great fun fact as well. I'm such a bookworm. I love reading. So that is like all these little bells are going off in my head. Do you still work in that kind of industry?
We're for university now. Yeah. And I'm also a nutrition coach.
Wow. A woman of many trades. I love it. Yeah. So cool. The next thing I want to ask you is, what three words would you best use to describe love? And I'm interested to hear your answer as someone who used to be all about the book publishing of romance novels. So yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like I've always thought of love as a sanctuary, you know, something that we choose for ourselves, comfort. And I know it's three only, but trust and honesty, I feel like, go hand in hand. So I feel like they're really strong values for me when it comes to what I would want in a relationship and what I believe love is.
I love that. And I'm very keen to dive into your story and hear how all of these sort of filter through. I have no doubt that they do. So the first question I want to ask you, the first official question, what was your attitude towards love and dating before meeting your partner?
Oh, gosh, we've been together for 12 years, so my memory is shot.
You don't remember.
I can't remember. I feel like, before I met him, I was in another relationship for 4 years, and when we broke up mutually, it was just so tumultuous. We used to fight so much. And our relationship was almost based on fighting and making up. I always thought that fighting was just normal. So when I met Steve Bear, my partner of 12 years, I think in the whole 12 years, we've probably had one fight.
And wow. That's
probably, I've kind of like, come on, fight me for once. We just kind of work things out. That was completely new to me, not something I've expected. And
absolutely. It's like anything in life. The longer we're exposed to it, the more normalized it becomes. So no wonder you were feeling that way. you broke up with your ex-partner and then there was a gap, I imagine. So I want you to take me all the way back to the beginning of this amazing 12-year love story so far. So talk me through how you met, and I already know it's a funny story, so give me the details.
All right. It's a longish one. So sure. I used to work in the Coles deli and there used to be this guy who walked in every Sunday morning like clockwork, you know, very routine orientated. And I'd always see him and I never thought I'd have a chance with him, but I used to see him and I'd always nudge all the girls in the deli, go, oh my God, he's here. He's here.
Oh my God.
And everyone would know. And yeah. And I used to work full time during the week and then work in the deli on the weekends. And I used to just be at work, working in advertising, going, oh, my God, I can't wait to be in the deli. And I hated it so much. I count down the hours to be out of there. But I was like, I just wanted to see him. And I knew he had this little routine. Anyway, one day I remember one of the girls going, Maria, can you come and serve? Because he was waiting. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay. So I went to serve him. I'm like, okay, what can I ask him? What can I ask him? I'll ask him about the weather. And I remember he ordered
classic.
He ordered seasoned chicken and I gave it to him. And then he didn't ask for anything else. He's like, yep, that's all I want. I was like, damn it. Anyway, so he walks away and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't wait another week to see this guy. Like, I am dying. I cannot continue to count down the hours till Sunday morning to get a glimpse of him. And so my friend Courtney, who was working in the deli at the time, said to me, like, so I was like, I've got an idea. And I ran out the back and I grabbed a fresh seasoned chicken.
Amazing. I love it.
And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm gonna go cut up some fresh chicken and give it to him. And she was a highly introverted girl. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, I need to get his attention somehow. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, this is the only way I know how to do it. So I remember just quickly cutting it up, wrapping it up, didn't write anything on it, like nothing creepy. But I wrapped it up, ran out the deli, and I remember Courtney, and I looked at Courtney and she looked at me and she's like, go do it. And I'm like,
this is your moment.
Yeah, I was 22, by the way, so I was like, okay, all right. And I remember I could, like, I was walking up to go find him and I could see him coming out of the aisle, one of the aisles. Even now my heart's racing, like I'm still there. And I was like,
my heart's racing,
you nuts. Oh. I was like, you're crazy. So I quickly ran out to the back where the guy in fresh produce was, and him and I were good friends. And I was like, Nathan, I'm about to go and do this. And this is it. And I was like, literally rattled off what I was about to do. And he grabbed my hands and he goes, Maria, that is the sweetest thing ever. It's not creepy. Go and do it. And I was like, okay. So I found him down one of the aisles. He had headphones in, wearing a Black Sabbath t-shirt. And I was like, okay, he's into metal. I knew that already because I'd seen him every bloody week. And I went up to him, I tapped him on the shoulder. I remember him taking off his earpiece and he goes, like his headphones, and he goes, I'm like, oh, hi. I go, I'm really sorry, but I didn't like what I gave you earlier. So here you go. And I just handed it to him and he's like, oh, like, thank you. And I'm like, that's okay, bye. And I ran off.
That is like the best service of anyone has ever received from a deli ever.
But I was so embarrassed. I was freaking out, but I was like, okay, well, now he's got a reason to remember me. And then he didn't come in for 3 bloody weeks.
Oh, my God. My God. I would have died. And you were overthinking everything. You're like, when's it going to happen? Is he ever going to come in? Am I ever going to see him again? Did I ruin everything? My
God. And, yeah, that's hours of counting every Sunday. I'm like, oh, kill me. And then I'd been there since I was 15. So I was about 23. So I knew, like, quite a lot of the customers, and I was working a third job at the time because I was working the deli, I was working at Borders bookstore, and I was working full-time in advertising. God,
a little hustler.
And at uni and volunteer. I don't know how I did it back then. It was crazy. I have none of that energy anymore. But I remember I was changed into my Borders uniform, and I was standing with one of the ladies on the outside of the deli because I was having a chat with her because I just knew her from as one of the regular customers that came in. And all of a sudden, my heart started racing and I looked up and I'm like, oh, my God. He's like, my body actually responded to him without me even seeing him. It was like, it was such a weird feeling. And I remember grabbing Helen's hand going, oh, my God, Helen, the man that I'm in love with is about to walk in.
Chicken man's here.
And she like turned around, she's like, oh, hello. And I'm like, oh, I know. And everybody in the deli's like, Maria, get, they're all trying to give me an apron to get back into the deli to come and serve him. And I'm like, I can't. I'm like, how embarrassing. So I remember just kind of, I remember running straight to the health aisle, grabbing like a shampoo or something to pretend that I was going to go show one of the girls. Mm-hmm. And stood next to him on the outside of the deli and just sort of nudged him. I'm like, did you learn your lesson? Like, don't be buying directly from the case. And I can't remember everything. It was so long ago, but I remember him, like, we actually had a bit of a chat. I remember talking his ear off, didn't even ask him his name. But then he said to me, he goes, oh, I think you know somebody that I know. And he knew one of the guys that used to work behind the deli. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, I know him. And anyway, we had this kind of little banter back and forth. And then we went. So I went straight home, jumped on Facebook, stalked this guy.
Of course you did. Love
every
it.
Single photo, and found a photo of him. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Realized he's got no social media presence whatsoever because he's not tagged. But I could see his name was Stipe. And I'm like, Stipe? What?
what is Stipe?
Until I realized he's got a Croatian background, because then I reached out to this guy's wife and I asked about him, and that kind of just segued a few things. And I found out, because he's Croatian, it's Stipe, which is Steve in English. And then, yeah, then he didn't come in again.
So wait, what did you ever find out why he didn't come in that 3-week interim?
He said to me later, he's like, you know, I didn't come in every Sunday. I'm like, you did. He had no idea.
That is so crazy how, like, some people can be so tuned into our whereabouts when we don't even realize that that's part of our routine. Like, you knew his movements and he didn't even realize he was doing that.
I know. And being with him this long, I'm like, mate, you're a man of routine. everything is calculated. You know, you do. Oh.
So how did it progress from there, from you kind of meeting in the deli?
So I was out one Saturday night. And I remember my friend saying to me, this guy's interested in you. And I'm like, no, I go, I'm taken. She's like, you're not taken. I'm like, yeah, it's like, it's Stipe or no one.
I'm, like, I'm taken by Stipe. He doesn't know her, but I have no idea.
He doesn't know who I am. And they're like, everyone was like, you're crazy. Anyway, the next day in the deli, everyone was like, you need to get over it. Like, you're building this story up in your head. He's not interested in you. Otherwise he'd come in. And I was like, fine. If he does not come in today, I'm done. And he didn't come in. And everyone's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, leave me alone.
Very not okay.
And I was leaving Coles, and all of a sudden in my peripheral vision, someone was running towards me, and it was him.
No way. What? Yeah.
And he came over, and like we just started talking. We ended up sitting at the outside on this like little bus stop area. He asked for my number.
And you were just completely starstruck this whole time, I can imagine, not believing what was going on in yes. front of you.
Yes. And I remember we ended up speaking for about, I think, because I was quite early before I had to go, I think we spoke for about 30 to 40 minutes. And then when I got into, I didn't tell anybody about it, but when I looked at my phone when I got to borders, my friend had written to me going, I think he's here. And I'm like, yeah, he's there, because I just got his number. She's like, how do you always get what you want? And I'm like, I don't know.
Because you're bold, because you run out there and you give people chicken when you like them. And yes. who does that? So how did it get to the point where you went on a first date, and what did you guys do on your first date?
I did a little cheeky, and I parked my car at the train station close to him, and I wrote him a message saying, oh, hey, I'm in your area. And if you're free, like, I'd love to catch up with you. And he actually came out at like 9 o'clock at night, and he met up with me at the train station. And then we ended up in the car at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God. And we just,
yeah. He actually had a coffee with me at like 10 o'clock at night. If you meet this guy now, he would not have a coffee past 5 p.m.
How long after the number exchange was this?
That was 4 days later.
Wow. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, were you still texting? Completely just what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah. On the Tuesday, we were texting a little bit back and forth, and him kind of laughing at me going, so besides ice cream, is there anything else that you like? I must have told him how much I bloody like ice cream. it was all natural. It was really natural. And that next morning, I remember going to work, and I only had like 3 hours sleep. And I remember him, like, one of the things that we had spoken about in the car was just like being bold. And like, if you want to say something, just go 1, 2, 3, do it. And he wrote me this beautiful message on that Friday morning going, you know, last night was incredible. I can't, you know, it was just, I can't remember the words, but it was really, really sweet. And then he goes, all right, I'm really nervous to send on this. He goes, but as you say, 1, 2, 3, send. Aww. And he basically just had said, I really like you.
Would you consider that like little car date, your first date?
Oh, I would say our first day, the day that we decided to be together was Australia Day. And that's why that's our anniversary. Because we went for a really big walk, and then we're sitting at the end of we went to Nando's, and then we went and sat at the end of this pier. And you know how I mentioned I was working in advertising. I had to do this this love run, and basically it was a Valentine's Day run that was coming up, and we had to either order a red t-shirt or a white t-shirt, and white was if you were taken and red was if you were single. So I'm sitting there at the end of the pier saying to him, so I have to order this t-shirt and I don't know what color I need to order. And he said, well, you're going to order the white one, yeah? And I was like, really? And I'm like, okay. And that was it. Aww. That kind of solidified us being together.
So that was how long you gave him the chicken?
18th of April, I gave him, 18th of January, I gave him my phone number. So 26th of January,
That's happened. Like a week. Yeah. It all happened in 1 week.
Yeah.
I think everyone can take a massive lesson from you to just do it. Just do it. Just you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so impressed. Okay. I need to know. So how did all of it evolve? Now you've been together for 12 years. So clearly it was the right move. So did you guys ever like talk about the fact that you had a major crush on him? Did he ever like, had he noticed you? Did he like you as well? And that's why he was coming in every week?
Not with that hat and hairnet. No way.
A little hairnet, yeah.
No, he said, look, he goes, I just thought you were a nice girl, because I had no idea.
That's a perfect segue. So how did all of this evolve? I mean, obviously there's 12 years there, so you don't need to give it all to me, but you know, like the main points.
Oh, so much. Like, I mean, we've gone through so much over the last few years. We've traveled together. The last few years have like really made us a lot closer. I come home with some crazy ideas, and he's just someone who always goes along with it, which is really nice. Like, I went to a raw detox retreat for 1 weekend. I remember texting him on Sunday night going, don't pull out that chicken out of the freezer because we're going raw. And he's like, okay, what are we doing?
This chicken theme in this relationship, I live for this.
But even recently, like, we finish each other's sentences. Like, sometimes he says something, I'm like, oh, I was just about to say that. Or like, we are very much alike in our thinking, or not. We kind of know what we're like. I know what he's about to say, and vice versa. We don't, or you know.
Do you think that comes from you being together now for 12 years, or fact that you're just such similar people?
No, we're not similar people at all. We're chalk and cheese, but we get each other. Like, I know exactly what's going through his head. Like, I can tell when he's anxious. I can even tell when we're sleeping. I'm like, what's wrong? Or he even knows, like, just something, and he'll be like, are you all right? And he just knows, you know. And we got a dog together about a year and a half ago, and that's kind of just changed our relationship again too, because just, you know, having a dependent almost.
For sure.
Has shown us, it's really made us step up.
You know how you said earlier on how before you even saw him, you felt him, you felt you were like super tuned into him. It's like, that was from the beginning.
It's true. And there was one other time where I remember serving somebody some dried tomatoes, and I remember my heart racing, and I looked up and he was walking in. I was like, that's crazy. And I tell everybody that, because I'm like, people sometimes like search for something and force it. But I was like, when they do find someone, they're like, oh my God, it was so natural. Oh my God, it was so easy.
That's crazy. Like,
that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it is supposed to be.
So on that note, what is something that you love most about your partner?
Oh, he's the best. Yeah, I can't, like, I've never met somebody so honest, so genuine, so caring. Like, he puts me above himself, even though I tell him you can't, like, you need to put yourself, but you're like, you're not. It's me, his parents, and then him. And I'm like, I love him for it. I wish he would, you know, put himself up there too, but he is such a good man. Like, there's not a bad bone in his body.
That's incredible. So selfless.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And it's nice that that is something that is, you know, stuck around, because you know that's a real quality. I feel like sometimes when people, you know, they first start dating and they just want to impress the other person, best foot forward, he was always like that. So that's amazing.
Even with our dog Dora, like, you know, sometimes like, I think I'm going to start cooking for her properly. You know, he's so diligent. I'm like,
chicken?
Yeah, probably. No, we don't.
Don't need it anymore.
we do, but yeah, like he was like, no, I think she wants, I want more vegetables in her diet. And I'm like, oh, good on you. Yeah, he's
so
really
cute.
He's really like, he's very sincere.
Okay, yeah. So now I get to do the fun part and I get to ask you if there is anything, and I don't know based on your answer, what's something that you might not like as much?
Oh my gosh, plenty.
Okay.
The bathroom. He kills me in the bathroom. Oh. It's the bloody combs. It's like they go to a spot, just put them back in the same spot, you know, or his beard hairs. they kill me. Nah, the combs kill me the most, or his toothbrush. I'm like, mate, just put it back where it belongs. I know it has to.
Where does he leave them? Just strewn everywhere?
On the sink. And I'm like, so every day I'm like, all right, I'll put it back. No worries. I'm like, that's not that hard. It's not that hard.
That tends to come up a lot. I think people are like, they're just messy. Or like, if they're not messy, they're disorganized. Or like, they just leave things where they shouldn't. And it's such a common theme.
But then he'll be like, what about your shoes? And I'm like, all right.
True shame. The next thing I want to know is, you know, you guys have a super colorful, like ethnically, like you're Maltese, you're Italian, he is Croatian, you said. What do you guys love to do together? Is it like cooking your like ethnic meals or like going and traveling to each other's countries? Like, what are some cool things you like to do?
Oh, we love cooking together. When I met him, he was chicken and rice and veg. Like he didn't.
Makes sense why he came to the deli.
It makes a lot of sense. He was so like, but it was, he always says he was cooking for himself. So he didn't care so much, but
yeah,
we love together. And he's someone who just puts that little extra mile. Like if we're making pumpkin soup, he'll be like, no, we've got to caramelize the pumpkin and onion first before we put it into the pot. Whereas I'm like, just get it in.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm just so lazy.
Yeah, but he loves it. He really like takes that time, but he loves it when he goes, I enjoy it when we do it together. And I'm like, I get that. So I've navigated my gym times to like go first thing in the morning. So we've got those evenings together.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's been really nice. And we love traveling. It's been harder with having Dora, our dog, but yeah.
You know, you've had this incredible 12-year fairy tale. You are so bold and so brave. I don't know a lot of people who would just go and confront the guy that they like and give him a piece of chicken or give them their number. I had a friend at uni once who I remember it clear as day, and she's probably going to listen to this episode because she loves chicken and she was really brave. So you guys will probably get along really well. But she ran up to this guy that she had a crush on that was in our Spanish class. And for months and months, she'd just been like, oh, I like him so much. He's so gorgeous. He doesn't know I exist. And she just charged to him and she just goes, hi. And then she goes, this is for you. And just gives him like her number on a piece of paper. And he just looks so taken aback. And
good on her.
Exactly. I just remember being like, you are my inspiration. You are amazing. And I'll never forget it. Nothing ever eventuated from it. But you know she did it and she tried. And that was the main thing. And
he's lost.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So with all that being said, I'm so curious to hear what is your best piece of dating advice that you have to give based on all of that or that you've ever received or anything you want to share to the listeners based on your amazing story?
Oh, sure. I would say don't want a blank canvas. You know, don't expect a blank canvas. Like, don't try and paint that person to what you want, you know. And I'd also say a relationship is a sanctuary that we choose for ourselves. So when it becomes, if it doesn't feel right, don't force something that's not meant to be. A good piece of advice in that previous relationship that I was in where I just knew it wasn't right, a really good friend of mine said, Maria, don't be afraid to be alone. And I remember just hearing that going, oh my gosh, because we'd been together for 4 years. And I just, you know, I was only 21, but I was like, but we've been together for 4 years. How can I waste all that time away?
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, yeah, I'm afraid to be alone. I'm like, that's what I was scared of. And as soon as I confronted that, I knew that it was okay to have that conversation with him. And we had a really, we actually sat in the car both crying and laughing about the last 4 years together and mutually broke up. It was really nice. But that's what I learned is just like, don't want a blank canvas. And like, just remember, you know, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your relationship. And it is a sanctuary and it's supposed to be a nice, calm and safe space to come back to.
I love that you call it a sanctuary. I've never heard it phrased like that. And that is so beautiful because that's exactly it. A sanctuary is where you feel safe. It's where you feel loved and comforted and at peace. So that is such an awesome way to describe it. And I think society all too often glorifies length of a relationship rather than like depth. And we're scared to be alone because we don't want to be that person who's alone, when in reality, sometimes it's exactly what we need. And yeah, I think it just speaks to the theme of this episode about bravery, which is clearly what you are in every way. So yeah, amazing advice.
Thank you.
That is it. That's all I have for you. Those are all my questions. So I just want to say the biggest thank you for coming on here. You have inspired me. I hope you inspire everyone who listens to this. It has been such a pleasure getting to hear your story. It's so funny as well. Like, I have the biggest smile on my face this whole time. So Maria, thank you so much for coming on and sharing it.
Thanks, Jasmine. I really appreciate it.
And there we have it, everybody, the crazy, hilarious, paltry perfect relationship of Maria and Stipe. I had the biggest smile on my face that entire time we recorded. I just thought Maria was so honest, so funny, so genuine, and also so relatable. Like, we have all been there. We have all been that person with the hairnet, working behind the deli, who had a crush on somebody, and I think that that is something that we can all connect to. Now, I really hope you loved that story as much as I did. And remember that you can head over to The Story of Us on Instagram and see pictures of today's featured couple. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to listen to The Story of Us. It means so much, and it's so great to see all these incredible love stories getting out into the world. Now, we've only got a few episodes left, 3 to go, and I'm gearing you up for an epic season finale. But in the meantime, if you're enjoying the show, please go give it a rating wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, I am always, always on the hunt for new stories. So send me an email at storyofusthepodcast@gmail.com. Have a fabulous rest of your week, and I will be back in your ears next week for another brand new episode of The Story of Us. Bye.